There is no doubt who the good one is and who the short one is. But that's the wonder of our King, that he pulls us into his goodness and he looks upon us favorably. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to encourage people I love. And we miss, and we long for, and we pray for. Use my weakness this morning, God. Let only your name be remembered and only your glory. Speak a word that changes our lives, Holy Ghost. It's always in your name we're praying. Amen. Whew. Okay. So my family misses you, but we know where we're supposed to be in the Lord. And he used trickery to get us up there. And he's a clever God. And so we're not even in a real town. When you're named after, we're 4 minutes from downtown Beloit, Wisconsin. You ever heard of Beloit? Yeah, you're not missing anything. Anyway, there's Beloit, Wisconsin. I did a concert there like 17 or 18 years ago in a barn. That's Beloit, Wisconsin. And so, but we live in South Beloit, Illinois. I mean, that means it's less than Beloit, Wisconsin. When you have an addendum to your name in front of it, it tells you, this is not as good as the one it's named after, and it's on the other side. So anyway, that was supposed to be funny. But anyway, so we live in South Beloit, Illinois, about 8,000 people around us. And we're excited. I wanted to introduce you to a couple friends that live in much cooler areas than I do. And this is David Nelson here. He's a precious brother. We share hamburgers together and hot dogs and stuff like that often. And the Lord has partnered us together. And this is my friend Jed Harrison, and he lives in Rockford, Illinois. And Sonia, his wife, was up here for the women's retreat. And he's a precious brother to me. And we meet weekly for coffee. You got to have coffee and you got to have burgers. And the Lord has been gathering people around us for us to tend to and to care for. Jesus said, I will build my church. There are men working so hard to build their own show and build their own kingdom and build their own name and their own glory. And then there are men that just say, God, spend my life the way you want to. I'm just changing your pocket. Spend me the way you want to, God. I don't care if I like the landscape. I don't care if I like the food. Well, I kind of do. I miss barbecue. I don't care if I like the weather. I just want you. I just want your will. I just want you to spend my life in a way that pleases you. If no one remembers me, you know me. If no one remembers any work of my hands, it matters not. You know me. My name is written in your book. Oh God, spend me for the glory of Christ. Let my name be forgotten. Let my works be forgotten. Remembered no more as long as they're written in heaven. Spend my life. That wasn't my message, but I think it's a better one than the one I had. It's not about my performance. It's about his presence. It's about his glory. There is a King who has founded his throne upon righteousness, truth, and justice, and it changes not. He can be depended upon. There's not even a shadow of turning with him. His character is true. He is pure. He's the purest of the pure. He's holy to the utmost. He's three times holy. He is just. He is right. He is all wise. He is all knowing. He is ever present. He is ever a helper. The foundation of his throne will never be challenged, nor shaken. He is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He needs no one. He needs nothing from no one. He doesn't need you. But this is the King who wants you, who invites you. He is self-sufficient from eternity past into eternity future. He is a fellowship in and of himself. There is diversity and unity in his own being. For he is Father, he is Son, he is Holy Ghost. And he is satisfied with himself. And he loves himself. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Spirit loves the Son. He's doing fine without anyone. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the source of all life. Who is this King? Who is this King who stepped out of eternal glory to be born unto us? Who is this King who is the image of the invisible God? Who in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, natural and supernatural, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Who is this King? I must know him. Who is this King who is before all things and in whom all things hold together? He is the substance. He is the glue. He is the grace. He is the love. He is the power that sustains all things. He is the study of every scientist. He is the infinite number of every mathematician. He is the glorious light of every astronomer. He's a wonder. Who is this King who is before all things and in whom all things hold together? Who is this King who carries the government of God upon his shoulders? Who is in very nature God? Who is the fullness of deity in bodily form? Emmanuel, God with us. And yet considered equality with God as something not to be used for his own advantage. Who is this King? What manner of King is this? What kind of King is this who formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him life? He made him from dust into his own godly image and then humbled himself to be made into the form of that, the image of the man. What manner of King would humble himself this way? To consider himself nothing, to take on the nature of a servant to the man he created. When he himself is in nature the eternal God, he didn't just enter into history. He is history. He's the center of history. He's the crux on which it all hinges. He's the center of it all. But he entered our history. Who is this King who has established all moral law and submitted himself to the perfect obedience to all his own laws? What kind of King follows his own laws to the jot and to the tittle? What manner of King is so humble that he would allow himself to become familiar with all our suffering and instead of avoid it, he shares it. He takes it in himself. Who is this King who had no place to lay his head and yet fed thousands with bread and fish and with words that are everlasting? Who is this King who is the light of the world, the bread of heaven, the resurrection and the life? What kind of King is so secure in his purity that he would befriend prostitutes and thieves and the lowest and poorest of society and gladly call them intimate friends? And serve them. I need some tissue, please. Or it's going to get ugly up here quick. Thank you, Pastor Dean. Thank you. That's pretty disgusting, but it's a different type of anointing. What kind of King welcomes such as these thieves, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, and prostitutes unto himself, cheaters, commoners? What kind of king welcomes such as these? He walks among the commoners as if he was one of them. The lowest of the low, he's glad to walk among them in the dust that he himself spoke into existence. What kind of king welcomes such as these to be part of his gracious kingdom? I must know him. Who is this king who considers the least to be as the greatest? Who remembers the forgotten? Who binds up the wounded, abused, and brokenhearted with his own loving kindness? Who relieves the trouble, speaks hope to the hopeless, gives rest to the burden, and is familiar with the sorrows of every commoner? I must know him. Who is this king who values and prizes the lowest of the low, the maddest of the mad, and the greatest of the sinners, the chiefest of the sinners? I must know him. He makes the outsiders insiders. He makes the lost found. He makes the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the mute talk. Who is this king who himself is the narrow gate and the gatekeeper, and the shepherd who leads the sheep through the gate, which is himself? Who is this shepherd king whose protective grip cannot be loosed from his sheep? No one can snatch them out of his hand. I must know him. For what he opens, no man can shut. And what he shuts, no man can open. And what he protects, no man can beseech. The word I was looking for was breach, but beseech will work too. I'm getting a little excited here. What kind of king is rejected by his very own people, which he came for, and allows them to mock his splendor and majesty, spit on the gracious holiness of his face, beat him, scourge him, and crown him with mockery? What manner of king is this who would suffer such shame and disgrace? Who is this king? Who is he who would bear the sins of all mankind for all time by allowing them to nail him to a cross? What manner of king would become a curse for his citizens who are sinners, that the curse of sin would be broken for all time? Who is this king who would become forsaken by the very one who sent him, that all justice would be satisfied and that men could be reconciled and not forsaken ever by God? I must know him. Who is this king who inspires such complete and unwavering devotion from his people that they would rather get beheaded than to blaspheme his name? They would rather be boiled alive than to renounce their loyalty to him, to be crucified upside down, burned at the stake, speared with many spears, stoned with many stones, be pulled apart limb from limb, than to renounce their faith and devotion in this king and consider it the highest honor to suffer for him. Who inspires this type of devotion, that they would be persecuted for his great name and great kingdom, and they would rejoice in it, that they were counted worthy to suffer this? What manner of king is this? What kind of king is this whose love is so perfect, so complete and satisfying, that his people only have room in their hearts to love him and love his created beings in likewise manner? There is no room in them to love or desire or pursue or treasure or value lesser things like money or comfort or worldly pleasures or recognition or power or sex or reputation or glory or applause or houses or cars or silver or gold. What manner of king inspires such abandonment, such repentance, such glory? For they know their king is a mansion builder of the highest degree. He has an embarrassment of riches. His treasure cannot be stolen or rust away or be destroyed. His vast treasure is their eternal inheritance. And that's what they look forward to. Convinced that the King himself, their greatest treasure forever, will reward them for such devotion. What manner of king is this? I must know him. He is their comfort. He is their pleasure. He is their delight. He is their treasure. He is their joy. He loves unconditionally. His love knows no bounds. He saves completely. His mercy triumphs over righteous judgment. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets spiritual captives free. He is our peace. He is our comfort, our joy, our healer, our glory, our reward, our treasure, our pursuit. He is light. He is life. Who is this king? He is the judge and the mediator. He is the creator and the redeemer of his own creation. Who is this king? I must know him. I must know him. Tell me, who is this king? Who is this king who takes orphans, those who were never a part of his family, and adopts them and welcomes them in such a manner that they never felt that they were not a part of his genuine bloodline? He adopts them with full right and full title and full inheritance that they will share in forever. Why would they live for lesser things? They don't. He himself is their treasure. Who is this king who inspires such passion and worship and devotion? I must know him. Who is this king who has risen from the dead, that those who believe in him would come to everlasting life? Oh, I must know him. Who is this king who will come again to take his adopted family home as he promises? Who is this king whose every enemy will one day be fashioned and sewn into a footstool for his feet to rest upon? For his name is above all names, and his authority is sovereign above all. No one can even challenge him. No one can even breach his glory. No one can stand in his holiness unless he allows it, unless he purifies. He is three times holy, and he's the holy maker. He is the purest of the pure, and he's the purifier. He is sanctity itself, and he's the sanctifier. He's the justice. He is the just judge and the justifier. He is the judge, and he's the mediator. Who is this king who would humble himself to come after me? Who is this king who would serve me in my lowest place? Who is this king who would not give up on me? Who is this king would say, come be a part of my kingdom. I will share my vast riches with you. I have a storehouse of grace and mercy and pleasures beyond what you could ever know. You have never tasted of such things. Come be a friend of the king. Who is this king? I must know him. He is worth more than a nod at the altar. He is worth total abandonment, forsaking all other pursuits, for he inspires such things. Who is this king who is, even now as we speak, preparing a banqueting table? He himself is setting the table with golden plates and cups and a feast which we have never known. It's better than Spring Creek barbecue. And Pastor Steve says, I don't know about that. He is setting a place with your name tag, the new name for which he has for you that only you and he will know. He himself is spreading the table. He himself will serve once again. Who is this king? What manner of king serves in such a way? There's a crown waiting for you at your table. What kind of king says, oh, those who rely on themselves, the rich, the wealthy, the well-to-do, they won't come. Go out to the highways and the byways. Invite the lowest to the low, the ones laying in the ditch. Invite them to come in. There's room in my table. What manner of king would say, don't worry about the clothes you come in, for I will give you garments that are pure and white and appropriate to eat with me. For even those who would be ashamed to approach him in such a way, how could I eat with the king? Look at my life. I'm wretched. I'm poor. I'm tattered. I'm dirty. I'm sinful. I'm wretched. And he says, I've got you covered. He says, come buy from me clothing, white garments. Come buy from me gold refined in the fire. Come buy from me the water of life. By the way, the cost is nothing, for I've paid for it myself. What kind of king requires perfect holiness and then fulfills it himself for the rest of humanity who could not? Who is this king? I must know him. He's the king of love. He is the king of grace. He's the king of truth. He's the king of fellowship, of friendship. He's a warrior king, a king of hope, the humble king, the serving king, the saving king, the risen king, the soon coming king, the victorious king, the sovereign king, the king of all kings, the king of glory. Jesus Christ is his name. Jesus Christ is his name. And his name is above all others. And even at the sound of his name, demons tremble. Satan falls on his floor from his throne. His pride laid low, and his works destroyed forever. At the sound of this king's name, that's the authority and strength of even his name. He is the king of glory. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord God Almighty. The first, the last, that is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God himself. Lift up your head, gates. Lift up your heads, people. Open up the gates that the King of glory may come in. Open up the gates of your heart. Open up the gates of your household. Open up the gates of your churches. Open up the gates of your city, O Haltom City. Open up you gates. Open up you gates of the nation that the King of glory may come in. For he is a gracious king. He is a patient king. He is a just king who paid his own justice. He's the king of love. Are you tracking with me? Although he could have been sent to judge and condemn us all for our unrighteousness and rebellion and our own sense of rightness, that we are right in our own eyes, he comes not on a mission to condemn, but in a mission of love to redeem, to save, to reconcile all accounts that were due. He would have been just in condemning, but in his love and infinite wisdom, he planned long ago that he himself would be just in forgiving us by taking our punishment himself. For sin cannot go unpunished. For the wages of sin, it was determined by him, is death. And so he himself bore our sins in his body that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, our wounds are healed. But in his love and infinite wisdom, he planned long before he breathed into Adam that he himself would be just in forgiving us by taking our punishment, our penalty, our condemnation upon himself. Everything that was written against us, he is canceled forever. Whoever would trust in him and in his plan of salvation and trust in the finished work of the cross that he completed and satisfied, a full pardon would be issued, complete and lasting forever. Those who would not receive the Savior nor believe in his suffering or his cross or his resurrection would remain in their condemnation. God's just judgment remains upon them as they choose to stand in their own self-righteousness to give an account before him as if they could teach him anything. But his grace allows for pardon and a reconciled relationship, a wonderful peace with him. His love allows for many also to reject him and to continue in their own damaging ways. For love to be true, it must be willing. Who is this king? It's the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. For one day we will all stand at the judgment seat of God. Jesus did not judge in his walking among us, but he said that judgment is reserved for me later. That I will judge the quick and the dead for the good and for the bad. Those who are in me will not face the judgment of condemnation. But those who seek to impress me with their own righteousness or say that they don't need me, they will stand on their own in horrific fear on that day. And they will be judged. Their accuser makes it clear everything they have taken in their heart, everything they have done. Their accuser speaks of iniquities and the written code. It says in dash 1.1.1, etc. But this king is a mediator and the judge. And he says, I was bruised for their iniquities. And those who would stand before God one day and say, I have no iniquities, I have no need of you, they will come to know much too late the fury of a righteous God. But those who have put their faith in the mediator, in the redeemer, in the savior, in this king of glory, they'll be bouncing and bursting in praise. For the mediator will say, I was bruised for their iniquities, I was crushed for them. The punishment that belonged to them, I placed upon myself. And my Father was pleased to crush me for their benefit. And this one, standing before you, Father, believed me. And so, accuser, written code that I nailed to the cross, gone, forgotten forever. There is nothing in their account but grace. And it's a rich account. It's boundless. It's an embarrassment of riches. And he says this, before I let you enter into joy, I want to just put a little moral out here for him. This one believed me, and furthermore, they know the one on whom they've believed. They know me. They don't just know my name. They don't just know to call me Lord. They live me Lord. They believe me. They believe upon me. They trust. They've put themselves in me by my grace and work of the Holy Spirit. I am their king. Enter into joy today, their king shouts. He shouts, faithful, good servant, enter joy today. And on that day, the praises of their king will be heard by the adopted ones, the redeemed ones. The Bible says to live for this sort of praise. So who will mediate for you? Will you stand upon your own righteousness or upon the one who is this humble king, who is the righteous of all righteous, the pure of all pure, the love of all love, the grace of all grace? But upon that day, many will face the judge of all judges. But if you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. If you continue in your faith, it says, if you are in Christ, you are alive in him, and he will make sure no one can snatch you from his hand. Many of you have gotten comfortable with church culture or Christian culture enough to come with a family member. What will you do this day with this King? Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day to let him apply his righteousness to you who have none. And those who are in Christ, not only is there no condemnation, he accredits to your account his righteousness. That's why he says, these ones, they're the righteousness of God when they're in Christ Jesus. It's not your righteousness, it's his. This King is coming again soon. It's already past midnight. It don't matter if you believe me or not. You'll believe in a few minutes. It won't be long. In your lifetime, I believe to the core of my being, you will be seeing him. And it won't be like any movie you've ever seen. Two people are in a coffee shop. One of them goes to the restroom and comes back, and the other one's gone. Oh, what happened to Sally? Half the people are gone out of this coffee shop. What just happened? No, it will be a terrifying day. They will mourn for the one they have pierced, the word says. He will crack the sky in a miraculous way that no matter where you are on this planet, you will see him, you will feel his glory. The earth will quake and shake, and he will shout, and when he comes on that white horse, that's it, time up. No mercy, no repentance, no opportunity to be accredited righteousness to your account. For you will give an accounting for your life. If you are in Christ, he makes your account clean, righteous, full. But if you stand in your own righteousness, there's no wish for you. I'd wish you good luck, but there's no wish for you. Why would you not fall upon the mercy of this King? What kind of King is eternal and chooses to walk among those he created and then give himself that you might be at peace with him? Are you at peace with this King? Let me tell you about his kingdom for a moment. His kingdom is of righteousness. And when you are truly in him, you are not working hard to be righteous. He is working hard in you, making you righteous. If it ain't happening, it's just an indicator. It's not do this and don't do this and don't do this and do this. Wear this and don't wear that and holiness and holiness. Holiness is something he himself works out in you as you get to know your King. But you must be in pursuit of this King. Righteousness is something accredited to your account and then that grows within you, within your robe of righteousness. The Holy Spirit's at work here. He's making you ready for his appearance. What manner of King is this? He's the King of glory. It's a dreadful thing to fall into his hands. It's a wonderful thing to fall into his mercy. Everyone is right in their own eyes or righteous. I'm good. I do more good than bad. So I'm pretty confident when I stand before God, I'll be okay. There is none righteous. His word says, the law of this King says, all have fallen short of my mark. My mark is perfection, and there's only one who has perfected it. And he said, that's my Son himself. That's me in bodily form walking among you. I did it for you. That's why I yelled out, finished, done, accomplished. And you could know that it was acceptable because I was raised again by my Father. There is life in me. There's eternal life in me. And you can know the authority of my word is true because I did what I said I would do. So what will you do this day with this King? He is calling for an abandonment of everything else for the embarrassment of his riches. Yes, his heart is to bless you and to prosper you. You hear that on every channel. Let me tell you about something else. there is a certain kind of person who pursues not anything else but Christ himself. That even their work that they put their hands to is all about his glory. Even when they suffer, it's a joy to them because they know God's shaping something in them. Even in the midst of affliction or devastation, they are at peace. They are at joy because they know the one on whom they have believed. They trust him. They trust him to work it out for their good, like we sang. They trust him to work it out for his glory. They trust him to work it out for their eternal glory, which they will share with him, with this king who's spreading the table, even as we speak. The trumpet is at the mouth of that last angel, and he's looking at the king. Is it time? Years ago, a trumpet wasn't even in his hand. It's right there. I tell you, don't miss this banquet, because there is no banquet on the alternative place. His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The other kingdom, steal, kill, destroy. Jesus Christ is the king of love. The enemy of the kingdom of darkness is, I don't love anyone but myself. And I will trick people to come this way. Oh, I'll reward you too. Because he's a liar and the father of all lies. He's one that binds people, that steals from people, that keeps them from their destiny. But the king of love says, I'm the one who restores your destiny. I'm the one who redeems your life and crowns you with love. I am life. The enemy comes only to take, only to bring you down, only to pull you from me. But I've come that you might have life, and so abundant. It's like a fire in you too. There's life and light and freedom. And eternal life is before you. And you, those who have abandoned themselves to this king, they don't. Their mind is not on temporary things. What will I eat? What will I wear? Where will I live? What will I drive? Where will I be praised or appreciated? They lose the care for such things. They know their father will add that to them anyway. They only seek the kingdoms, the king of the kingdom, or the kingdom of the king is what I meant to say. All they care is about the priority being the king and his kingdom and his righteousness. They actually seek righteousness, that things would be set right in their life and in their household and around them. They care about justice for other people. They care about the ones that Jesus came to serve because they were once one of them. That's the markings of these people. Where are you with this king? You can't play games with him. He sees everything. His eyes are everywhere. He knows you better than you know him. And what will he say when you face him? Oh, I've already canceled the written code, and it's become efficient to their life. His sacrifice is sufficient for all sin, for all time, but only efficient to those who put their faith in him. He says, repent. Be quick about it. Because those I love are the ones I discipline. I'm a good father. I don't let my kids get away with things that'll damage their life. If you shirk my discipline's call, you're shirking my love. But if you embrace it, there's no greater joy in knowing that I'm correcting you. Because you know I'm near you. And I'm for you. And I'm transforming you to the likeness of this king. Who would say, I want to be like this king? I must know him. I must give myself to him. Everything else is laughable. Everything else is worthless. Everything else is just a gift from his hand, from the Father of lights, who for my enjoyment in life. But it does not hold me anymore. All that holds me is the King of Glory. What is the spirit of this king doing in you now? There's no call I can make that would be right for you. He's speaking something different to each one of you. There's some of you that are carrying around burdens that you don't need to carry. He says, be at peace. I got this. Trust me. I will work it out for you. Well, I can't see how. That's what faith is. just look at my track record. It's impeccable. I'm trustworthy, for I'm faithful. Trust me. You can't hope in man. You'll be disappointed every time. You can't hope in wealth. It'll run away. You can't trust yourself. You'll squander everything you were given. Trust me this day. Today is the day of your salvation, and you will know it happens because it's not your work. It's his work. You just respond to it. There are many of you that have been playing games. You're just kind of hanging out on the fringe of Christian. I don't even know what you're doing, but you have not abandoned your life to him. You've not said, I don't care about any other pursuit but him and what he puts in my life to do to serve others, to prepare my life for others. I have come that righteousness might happen for you today. I'm not telling you specific anything because it's his spirit within you. And only you can reckon with him and reconcile the account. He's the one that paid it. It's just on you to say, you be my accountant. You are my judge, so now be my mediator. You can't halfway do this thing. This king does nothing halfway. He doesn't save halfway either. You're either all in. That's why I'll leave it, because I believe you will be. When he comes again, he will come at a time you do not know this king. But those who know him, they don't live in fear anymore. It's a joy to walk with him. Trial, trouble, no money in the bank, no problem. I know the king and he has an embarrassment of riches. So I don't know, what do you think you ought to do? My friends, my family. You know. Are you truly in his hands? If you're in his kingdom, you're in his rule. And the fruit is evident, not because of your working, but because you are in him and he works it. If it's not there, test your faith. Examine yourself. Ask the Lord. And then run to the altar. Mike, if you'd come, and Shannon too, and Dwayne, if you want to come. And just play. I like the one about come, the burden thing. So maybe let's close our eyes for a minute and take a moment and just let the Lord. There isn't anything that he can't speak to and that his act on the cross didn't accomplish. There's sufficiency for all sin. There is none of you that are out of his reach. That's who this king is. If you let this day pass, just don't let this day pass. Today is your day. Well, what do I do? Can you help me with it? Nope. The prayer he liked in Scripture was, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He liked that one. The first person ever to receive salvation was the thief who was crucified on the cross next to him. And all he did was confess his sin and say, I believe you are who you are. Remember me in your kingdom. He knew he was the king. So if this is your day, it can happen where you're seated, but I believe in the pursuit of God. And there are many others who God is, he's dealing with your heart right now, and he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And you can stand, you can kneel, you can do what you need to do. And we have, my family will pray for you and surround you. You need their love. And so Stephen Gay, if you would be available for that. But if God is calling you to respond to something that was spoken by God's Spirit to you today, I would suggest that you come and meet me here. And meet me here. We don't graduate from the gospel. We don't graduate from the repentance and pursuit of righteousness. We grow in it. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And some of you are struggling right now because you know there's unsettled, your account is unsettled in some way. But you're like, what if I go? They'll know I've been in this church 30 years. Who cares? We're talking about the King. We're talking about eternity. It's in the balance for some of you. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 years. Settle matters with God. Have peace with God. Be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin. He will give you nothing but mercy. You find nothing but mercy from him when you humble yourself. You will find nothing but judgment from him when you resist him. Find mercy. It's rich. It's boundless. It's available. I plead with you. This may be the last day this passes you by. Some of you know the devil's got a hold of you. Like, you don't even believe it in your theology. How could the devil have a hold of a Christian? You know it because you're bound to sin. You're bound to decision. You're bound to separation from God and from your family. Come and find deliverance. Come and find freedom. Oh, have mercy, God. Don't let this moment be missed. Let this moment be embraced and enjoyed. There is a King who delights and causes us to delight in him. But we must have peace with him. We must settle matters with him. He alone can bring us to life. He alone can bring us to repentance. He alone can fill us with his Spirit and life. Oh, cry out to him. Call out to him like your life depended on it. Call out to this King.
like for everyone just to stand with me right now. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. Ooh, ooh, we come to Jesus.